And look at me, you forget the cameras here, all that fun stuff.
I'm PJ Hawkeye, I'm the Group Program Manager for Windows SharePoint Services.
Wow. And who are you with here?
This is Mike Ammerland, who's a Program Manager on the Windows SharePoint Services team, working on all of our WIDB and ASP.NET integration and a bunch of the platform features in the next version of SharePoint.
Okay.
And also Mike Martin.
How's it going?
Also a Program Manager on the Windows SharePoint Services team. And Mike's working primarily on the UI and the design of the new SharePoint site, plus a bunch of features related to tracking and other. Actually, we've got just lots of stuff in the next version of SharePoint that's hard to.
Yeah, Robert LeFert's giving me an idea of what's coming in the.
Yeah, and Rob's more focused on the workflow and document management pieces of SharePoint, which is another big investment area.
Yeah.
And so really that's the three pillars, the platform investments that Mike represents today, the application that you see for collaboration and tracking, and that Mike Morton represents, and the other one that you saw previously from Rob LeFert's, which is all about document management.
Cool. And we just walked in on you, and you were working together on the on your PDC demos,
that's
right?
That's right.
So what are you going to talk about next week? Four or 5 days
away? So my specific presentation's on collaboration and tracking applications on top of SharePoint. So we've built a lot of great functionality around...
Yeah, look at me. Forget the camera.
Oh, sorry about that.
Otherwise, it looks like you're pitching the camera. It looks weird.
Absolutely. So we're building a bunch of functionality around... tracking applications, so specifically things like having version history, email integration, workflow, a lot of task features, project management and Gantt charts, etc.
Wow.
And a lot of that stuff's going to have developer extensibility, so people will be able to build their own custom applications that use that functionality. So if you're building something and you're tracking anything, be it documents, people, tasks, calendars, issues, etc., you can start with what we have out of the box, but really use our extensibility mechanisms to really build it to what you need for a custom solution.
Okay. And so what are people going to see when they first get the next version of SharePoint? What are they going to notice is the coolest thing?
The first thing they'll see is updated UI. We've made a lot of user experience improvements sort of based on customer feedback. We've added things like breadcrumbs throughout the site, better navigation across the site and across different sites.
Can you show us any of that stuff?
Or? Yeah, I think I could probably show you.
Demos always are easier to... understand.
Talk about UI, sure. So let me.
And this is totally a non-scripted demo, so we don't know if it'll work. It is early software. So.
So what you're looking at here is sort of the homepage of the new SharePoint team site, and I'll go ahead and click on a document library here. If you see that document library, we now have. Sort of these menus kind of exposing our commands. So if I click on Actions, you'll see a bunch of the sort of the great functionality we have. Like, we'll be able to take these documents offline inside of Outlook. I'll be able to open this up in the Windows Explorer and just work on documents. You'll see an RSS feed. This is not super interesting with documents, but for all of our list types, we'll have RSS feeds available for those types of documents.
Very cool.
And that matches up with work that the Outlook team is doing to have their aggregator and reader. And so you'll easily be able to get information about all the changes to the SharePoint list you care about right in Outlook. And so it's one of the other integration points we've done across the Office clients and SharePoint that I think is really going to be
this
very valuable.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. We keep all of our Channel 9 schedules in a SharePoint server, so my boss could subscribe to that calendar, and actually anytime I change it, it would show up in his RSS aggregator.
Yeah, and in fact we did special work for calendar items, Mike, right?
Right, absolutely. So the calendar items, when we return the RSS for it, instead of just returning you sort of the name, the description of the item, we'll return an iCal for that calendar item as an attachment.
Okay.
So if you double click on that iCal, when you have a calendaring app that can handle iCals, which is basically all of them, you can actually add that to your personal calendar. So it's a great way if you're sort of monitoring a calendar and you want to sort of go to certain appointments, you can just get an RSS feed for it and click on the iCal attachment.
Very cool. So what's the demo you're going to be showing next week at the PDC?
Well, I'm going to be showing a whole bunch of different things. A bunch of the demo is going to be showing some of our new tracking features, like version history is an example. Every item in SharePoint will have a version history associated with it. So here's an item in SharePoint I can click on. I can click on that item and sort of see that like you normally would. But I can also go to that item and click on... let me see if I have it in this in this list.
So this is the old build or something?
No, I showed you a list that actually didn't have version history turned on. Okay. So here's an item that actually has version history turned on. If I click on version history here, you'll see that it has kind of that history for that item. So you'll see, you know, with version 2, the priority was changed from high to low. With version 3, the due date was set. So we're not only sort of tracking the version history, but we'll actually show you a difference between what happened in each version. Okay. In fact, we'll even do kind of a line-by-line diff. So if someone changed a big rich text field, we'll actually show you what lines changed in that. This is really great for any sort of tracking thing. You want to see who was it who talked to that customer, or who marked that customer's issue as high priority or something along those lines. You can kind of do that.
Cool.
And it's a platform feature, so any list in SharePoint, document library, calendar, tasks, discussion boards, etc., I'll get that for free.
Very cool.
So we think there's a very common set of scenarios that users will have this tracking capability just for regular lists that they work on. But we also know that as compliance gets more important for customers, there's a subset of their documents where they really absolutely have to know who changed what and when the document went from one revision to another. And so the version history actually has a very deep set of capabilities built into the platform that let us build some of the more fundamental document management features that we know our customers need around compliance and regulations.
I mean, underneath that, there's basically an object model for getting at the auditing status of all those various items, so you can really query those programmatically and get at all that information pretty quickly and easily.
Very cool. This is really going to be useful for me.
Yeah, so what I'm showing you here now is I'm looking at the settings page for a discussion board, and this is kind of our standard settings, but something you'll see that's additional is that we have these new email settings.
Okay.
So if I click on email settings right here, I'll actually be able to pick an email address for this list. So I can pick any alias. So I'll call this like Team Disk, for example. And I have some options like, do I want to save attachments? Do I want to save the original email? What kind of security policy do I want to have on this? And when I click OK, what will actually happen here is I'll actually create an actual new contact in the Active Directory. And I can actually send mail to that distribution list or to that contact, and it will actually show up in the discussion board of that team site.
Very cool. What's the reason to use email now instead of RSS? Or what's the advantage to use RSS instead of email?
Well, we have several different features here. RSS is sort of a great way of kind of getting kind of keeping in touch with sort of what's changing on your site. So for people wanting to kind of know about what's happening on a site, signing up for an RSS feed is a great option.
Yeah.
We have an alerts feature that you sign up for an alert and we actually send you an email when something changes that does overlap with RSS. But the alerts feature has a bunch of advantages. It's very targeted, so you can sign up for an alert only under specific criteria. So only if an item changes that's high priority and PJ was the changer. And it will send you mail directly to your inbox, which is in some ways just a personal preference. Some people prefer to have that in their inbox flashing at you. Others prefer the more, you know, the I check when I want to model of RSS.
Yeah.
What I was actually starting to show you was actually incoming email. In this case, it's actually someone sending mail to the site and having that as a way to kind of publish to the site. So it's a way that if you have communications that ordinarily happen in email, like PJ and I are just talking about something, and PJ's like, oh, that's important, we want to publish that on the team site. You know, I can just type in the email address of that team site and have it show up right on the team's discussion board.
That's very cool. Can I also, if I have an existing piece of email, can I drag it to a folder and then have it appear or something like that?
Yeah, you absolutely can. So you'll also be able to take several of our list types, contacts, calendar, discussion boards, document libraries, and tasks, and sync those in Outlook. So you'll actually have a two-way read-write sync, and they'll look like just a normal task folder or a contact folder, discussion folder in Outlook, and you can drag and drop things across the board. You can add things using the Outlook UI. You can do all the things that you'd normally expect to do in Outlook, but instead of it working against, you know, sort of your personal mailbox, your personal calendar, it's your team, you know, your team calendar, your team discussions.
Right. With the RSS feeds, can I lock people out of those feeds like I can with normal SharePoint? You know,
yeah.
I can say this is just for the Channel 9 team. And
yeah, the RSS
and
feeds.
Even though you work here at Microsoft, you can't see my Channel 9 schedule, right?
Absolutely. They'll follow the normal security of the SharePoint list. So if you restrict it to a certain set of people, only those people will be able to get the RSS feeds.
Very cool.
And, you know, we'll have, you know, kind of complete customization on that.
Can you decide to do multiple feeds? You know, one for, let's say, my small work group, one for my bigger work group, and one for the entire company?
Yeah, so the model that we have is that we have per list and per site feeds. So each list will have a feed for that particular list. And then there's a site feed that sort of aggregates all the changes across that entire site.
Okay.
And that you can customize that feed to say, like, which fields, you know, which part of the metadata of those items do you want in that feed. There's only one of those per list, but you can have as many lists and as many sites as you want on a SharePoint server.
And what format of RSS do you guys support?
We're supporting RSS 2.0.
Okay, cool. And do you have an aggregator built into SharePoint at all? So I could suck in your feed and put and display it on my SharePoint site?
We have not built an aggregator into SharePoint. Of course, Outlook is built in an aggregator, which should be sort of the premier office aggregator.
So does IE7, too.
So does IE7, that's right. And we also have a lot of third parties that have already built RSS aggregator web parts as part of SharePoint today.
And
that's
something that
those will continue to work. So we it's not an area that we've built out of the box.
Very cool. Anything else cool that in SharePoint?
Oh my goodness, that's.
Do we have 10 hours?
Yeah, exactly. How long is that tape?
Well, it's, tape's an hour, but you know, what are the top five things? You've covered most of them, right?
Well, we've covered a bunch of the end user parts. I think that if you go beyond that, I would really say we have a lot of great document management support, particularly. A lot of advancements in things like workflow, supporting multiple content types, advanced major minor versioning around document management. And then we've also done really just a great job for developers. So things like event handlers being synchronous, much better support for ASP.NET, things like master pages will be a real innovation for us. So I think that the developer and document management stuff will really complement the collaboration and tracking stuff.
So do you support ASP.NET 2.0?
We do. In fact, we require ASP.NET 2.0.
Yeah, we've worked a lot with the ASP.NET 2.0 team to make sure that we could build on top of SharePoint as directly as possible and make as much of the ASP.NET feature set shine through into SharePoint. So, you know, for example, with master pages is a great case in point. What you can do with that is you can basically take that ASP.NET 2.0 feature and use that to kind of reskin and change the look and feel of your SharePoint sites really quickly, whereas before in the previous version it'd be a lot more difficult. You'd have to modify, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 ASPX pages to sort of get that really done. So a lot of those ASP.NET 2.0 features will be shining through.
Very cool.
We've also taken the new implementation of the web parts that's in ASP.NET 2.0 and rebuilt that back into SharePoint. SharePoint previous version shipped web part implementation. And we've collaborated with the Visual Studio team on actually reintegrating that back into the core platform and having that now shine back through to SharePoint. Right. And so all the new ASP.NET web parts are all SharePoint web parts. And then the comment that you just made about existing web parts just working, well, we've done a lot of work to make sure that existing V2 web parts continue to work in the new environment also. And so we kind of glossed over a lot of dev work and we said they just keep working because there was a lot of extra work for us to make that happen, but it meant that we now have a seamless transition for people who've deployed existing web parts into the new SharePoint, plus they get to use all the new Visual Studio tools to build the new classes of web parts that can also target SharePoint.
Right. When I first started using SharePoint, it seemed very inflexible to me. It's hard to customize the look and feel, for instance. Are you guys making it easier to come up with my own theme or my own color?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're doing a bunch of things, and FrontPage is really a center of our investments there, that you'll be able to, a couple big things. Master Pages is going to be a major innovation where it used to be there was kind of copies of the HTML on every different page. If you wanted to change the look and feel, you had to sort of edit, you know, 50 different pages in your site. Now you'll be able to edit the master page and kind of one fell swoop, you know, completely change the look and feel of your site. We're also investing in themes. We're going to have much more professional, out-of-the-box themes people can just use without knowing any coding or CSS. I mean, for folks that really are experts in CSS, they'll now be able to edit our CSS files directly. So they'll be able to open that up in FrontPage or whatever their CSS editor of choice is, and you know, just directly make changes to our style sheet to get the look and feel that they're shooting for.
Yeah,
and we've also improved the web parts user interface a good bit so that it's easier to add web parts and sort of move them around inside the page. So and web parts is a way to customize what you're doing and what the page shows you. We've made that easier.
Right.
One other area that I'll call out that might be interest to the Channel 9 folks is we're also delivering out-of-the-box blogs and wikis in SharePoint. So you'll be able to use in SharePoint, you'll be able to create a blog. You can use it for personal blogs on my sites, for example, or you could use it for team-related blogging. We think there's a lot of interesting scenarios where the basic blog format where you have a post and you have comments, you know, really applies in sort of business and collaborative
scenarios. I asked Rob that yesterday and he didn't know. So you can actually build comments into your blogs?
That's right. So just like a typical blog, you know, there's the post and people can comment on that post and you know, reply to those comments.
And do you have the usual spam protection on the comments, or do you, because mostly SharePoint's used inside the firewall, you don't worry about that too much?
We haven't done a lot around spam detection. There certainly are the third parties that do things like virus detection and other things that plug into SharePoint that will work with our blog stuff, but out of the box, you know, we are a little bit more focused on the internet scenarios there.
Right. Blogging to me is five things, right? Ease of publishing, SharePoint has that. Discoverability, you know, on my blog, when I hit publish, it pings a server called weblogs.com and says, hey, you just published. Does SharePoint have anything like that, like a centralized server that if I publish my Channel 9 site, does it tell a centralized server, hey, this Channel 9 site just published here at Microsoft?
I'm not sure precisely about that. Certainly through RSS, if that had an RSS feed to the blog, it would get notified of the change.
Yeah.
Or you could write an event handler that sat behind the post that notified. I don't know if we have that feature out of the box, but it's trivial to... We've thought of two implementations for how you could add that to SharePoint if you really wanted it for your blog site.
Well, for the corporation, because I could see building a whole bunch of new services that look at... Like Technorati and Feedster and PubSub were built on the public blogs,
right?
Using weblogs.com.
Yeah, it might be worth calling out the search integration that SharePoint Portal has, that they're going to have this whole notion of kind of a community center and searching on top of that, which is basically, it's basically search, but it's going to be looking at not just documents and simple things you think search, but across archive discussion posts and emails that I showed in that email stuff, people's blogs, people's wikis, other SharePoint content. So SharePoint Portal Server really is a great way to kind of aggregate all of that.
I guess my question was, how does that server know that you just turned on a SharePoint server inside the corporation? So like at Microsoft, we have thousands of SharePoint sites all over the place, right? Well, what if I open up a new SharePoint box in my office, through SharePoint server at Microsoft? How does the centralized search find my box?
Yeah, that's a question best answered by the search folks, but I'll give a little bit of a shot on that.
Okay.
There's several different ways. You can explicitly tell the central server about your machine. You can also, from that machine, point it at your portal server. So it works both ways. So there is that connectivity. And the search folks also have a crawler, so if your site's linkable anywhere on the internet and they find it in the crawler, they'll see, this is a SharePoint server, not just an ordinary web server, and they'll crawl it from there. So
got it.
There's several different avenues.
And the Microsoft IT folks would tell you that rather than spinning one up under your desk, they'd like to provide the shared service that let you easily go to the MSIT webpage that said, I want a SharePoint site. You get it on their hosted server with all of the service level that entails, and then of course that server is well known by the portal and automatically gets crawled and all that stuff gets indexed.
Right.
I also think that we're going to encourage people to put their personal blogs on their My Sites, and their My Sites are well known and well discovered by the portal already.
Yeah. There's five things that make a blog. So the third thing was linking between domains. What does the refer log look like in SharePoint? Has that changed at all? In other words, if you linked my Channel 9 server, how do I see that you actually linked to me and how much traffic you sent to me and stuff like that, which is important for figuring out who is important inside the company and who has...
So is that like trackbacks? Is that
Trackbacks is one way, or a refer log that can be public even. So, because I use that a lot. If you see my blog, I have a public refer log where people can click and see who's actually linking to me and how much traffic they're sending me.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Do you know?
I know you guys in the current version have a refer log, but I just wondered if there was any investments in making that easier to read or better stats or stuff like that.
No, I don't think so in that particular area.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let's see, the fourth thing is permalinking. So
so we'll have permalinks for each of the items.
Okay, so as I post a new item...
You'll see a little thing, it says permalink, we're using the...
Knock on. And we already covered the fifth thing. The fifth thing is syndication, and we covered that you guys are doing RSS.
Right.
So wonderful. So you have at least four out of the five, and maybe even five out of five.
You can build the fifth one.
Yeah, the trackbacks. Yeah. Cool. And what else do I need to know about SharePoint? What you guys are doing?
Well, I mentioned wikis was another area.
Oh, yeah.
People often, we sometimes talk about wikis and blogs together because they're both cool and in vogue, but they're somewhat separate in terms of their scenarios for sure.
What is it? Tell me what a wiki is, because a lot of people watching video might not.
I need to have a very succinct answer here, but it's basically a site with very, very easy page editing.
Yeah.
We're basically typically set up where anyone can contribute, though that's not a requirement, and SharePoint or normal security will be there. But it makes a very lightweight place for people to sort of create pages. And what makes them particularly powerful is very fast and easy linking between those pages.
Okay. Do you have any examples of the wiki functionality that you can show us? Or?
Should I try to show WSS Wiki?
Yeah.
See if I can get that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, let me try to go to... Actually, I might go.
Hopefully that monitor set at 60 hertz. If not, I'll have to stop and look.
This machine is not on our intranet right now. But I'll put this in, it might actually...
Yeah, that one's not at 60 hertz.
So that's not going to work.
Yeah, well, we could stop and change it to 60. Cool. So the wiki functionality is standard wiki. You have a button to edit the page. You can change the page. You can create a new page.
That's right.
Do you have to use the wiki syntax?
No. So we have basically a rich text editor built in. We will support the wiki winking syntax. Well, you can do the bracket wiki winking syntax, which is a really convenient way for creating wikis. But you don't need to, if you want to do bold or italic or change the font, you don't have to do, the wiki syntax will have direct rich text editor.
And if you want to link to a new page, do you have to use the camel case?
No, you can use the bracket syntax. I think I have connectivity here.
Cool. Very cool. And you get that out of the box. You don't have to turn on anything.
It's just a in fact, I could probably even show that to you. So here's here's a wiki that this is not quite the wiki. This is just a normal team site. I'm looking on the wiki. Servers loading for the first time here. Right, so here's just sort of your homepage of the wiki. It's just a bunch of text. If I wanted to edit this page, you'll just see the edit page button right here.
Yeah.
I can go and click that edit page button. And I can just start making changes to that text. So I could, make this bold, for example, when you'll just see we have a little rich text editor to do that. If I wanted to add another link to a page, I'll call this PDC demo here.
Yeah.
And I'll just type in my syntax and I'll click OK. And then you'll see, you'll see the text bold, but you'll see this PDC demo, and you'll notice that it has the little dash underline.
Yeah.
That's the case because this page doesn't actually exist. There is no PDC demo page.
Right.
So if I click on PDC demo, I'll actually be able to create a PDC demo page, and that will be linked in.
That's really cool.
And we support all of the, or most of the standard wiki things, like a version history on the item. So if you do open yours up and people make changes, you can revert back. We'll track incoming links to your page, so you can see incoming links.
Now, does the wiki create an RSS feed as well?
You can have an RSS feed to the wiki. Basically, the wiki underneath the covers is a document library in SharePoint. So each wiki item is actually a document, and you'll get an RSS feed, and you'll basically see what documents change over time.
Very cool. What else do I need to know about wikis? Is there any Groove integration
for the wiki specifically, or
SharePoint
in general? I guess I asked the question without much of an answer. we are working with the Groove team. There was some Groove integration with previous releases of Groove even before Microsoft bought them.
Yeah.
And we're certainly really interested in trying to have Groove synchronize and work with SharePoint, but you're really going to have to ask them to get the final answer delivering.
We're going to interview Ray Ozzie at some point.
Ray will be talking about SharePoint integration. We're certainly super excited about the Groove acquisition and think that the long-term potential for SharePoint Groove integration is immense.
Very cool. You were about to say?
I was about to make one comment about wikis. One of the things that we've noticed people try to do to wikis that I think will be much easier with SharePoint is use the unstructured freeform nature of the pages with just a little bit of structure. People want to classify their pages often in a particular way or add a little bit of what looks like a lot to SharePoint, like metadata. Just one field, they want to know who authored the page and they want to have that show up in the page, or they want to assign priorities. Maybe their wiki is a brainstorm, or maybe it's by customer segment and they want to have the segmentation show up in the wiki. And it's very easy to do that in SharePoint, to customize both the edit form to add new fields and also in the views of the pages to have those fields show up so that people can tell how the pages are organized in a particular wiki. And I think it's sort of an interesting example of the crossover from the pure freeform page authoring model of wiki with the semi-structured capabilities of SharePoint around fields and views that will add a lot of value for customers.
Very cool. Anything else we should see in our first look at SharePoint? What do you call it, by the way? Is it SharePoint 12?
Goodness. I don't have an answer to that.
Right.
This is one of those cases where I'm not just not
There's a whole
you.
Team of marketers trying to find a boring product name.
I absolutely promise we just don't know what we're going to be called at this
Okay.
time, so.
I won't even open that Pandora's box, right? Cool. Well, thanks for spending a few minutes with me showing me SharePoint,
Great.
The next version of SharePoint. This is really neat stuff. I can't wait to get it.